You know, it's like smart money is finally getting into the sector. It's not just central bank buying, in my opinion. And so it's trading beautifully as a commodity. So then you have to say to yourself, okay, if I missed the boat on physical gold, which, you know, I mean, I only have a 1% position myself on physical gold. I've got about 7.5% in silver. Then you got to buy gold equities here. That's what you do. And you're going to get tremendous leverage to the price of gold.
John Fenech, how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you, Andy?
I'm doing well. Interesting enough, the last time we talked, mid-February, the market was really at a low, and my portfolio was at a low. But what was interesting too is that's usually when you see bottoms, if you would, just a lot of despair. And we briefly talked about that. And since then, things have really started catching a bit, everything really commodities related. And I think this is starting at a high level with the Fed and direction of the Fed and the possibilities of easy money, or at least that's what the market is anticipating. What's your high level view? Let's start there, of where things sit and how this impacts commodities and commodity stocks.
Yeah. So correct. We were talking, I think, 10 days or 10 calendar days or so before the low. And that was to me when Newmont got downgraded on February 26th by whatever analyst that was. And so, you know, basically we're looking at a really nice rally here because gold is just ripping. It's not rallying, it's ripping. And it is going to rip even higher on anything that would be a black swan event or even something that would be kind of normal, like kind of abnormal, I guess, obvious to me, which is this Russia-Ukraine situation is getting worse. It's not getting better. And now we're looking at this huge bill that's just sitting there in the US and it's being debated back and forth, right, with Johnson and all the rest. And so it's like, what if Russia prevails? The market is not factoring that in at all to me in the broad market and in prices, but gold loves fear. And so the fear trade would then ignite. And then you had gold and silver just ripping higher, in my opinion, probably a near-jerk reaction down on the news of something like that. But I mean, and I'm not hoping for this at all. I'm just saying you have to prepare as an investor for this. And the market's just greedy right now. They're not prepared if you're in tech or AI or whatever. You're not prepared for bad news, in my opinion, because you're chasing stocks, right? We all know that the S&P last year cranked, but it cranked with the Magnificent Seven leading the way, which we call narrow leadership, right? And then if you separate that away from the other 493 stocks, it didn't look so good. And so that's what investors really need to understand. And I don't think the average person does. So getting back to your question, the Fed in March was very dovish for our sector. They implied being the key word, that we're going to get three cuts in general this year, probably starting June 12th. And I'm not sure I believe June 12th would be the first one. We'll see. You know, we're going to have to look at data just like Powell says, right? We've got April 5th with non-farm payrolls, April 10th with CPI. These are incredibly important, you know, data points. And I always coach my clients that you have to, you know, watch this. You can't just sit back in your chair now that we're rallying and get comfortable because the Fed has told us they're data dependent, right? And we've been saying this on Kitco and other large shows since the beginning of 2022. We actually took a different position that your listeners can look at PDAC in 2022. And I said, look, this is going to be higher rates for longer. The Fed means business. And David Lynn turned to me and said, like, that's interesting. Everyone else I interviewed in the gold space has said that, you know, we probably see cuts by the fall of 2022. And I was like, that's just not happening. I would love to see that happen. But, you know, you can kind of, if you follow the Fed as closely as I do, you can kind of see when a change occurs. To me, that change was November of last year. I went on Kitco again with Paul Harris this time in Zurich and said, like, this CPI miss was very dovish for our sector. Now, prices didn't move, as you know. Right away. It takes months sometimes. This is not unusual. It's very painful for us as investors. But if you look at the 08 crisis, right? Look at when GDXJ took off. Wasn't it Lehman? It wasn't in the fall of 08. It was somewhere around January of 2009, ripped higher, I want to say about 180% from January of 2009, so July of 2009. So in 6 to 7 months, you made huge money just owning an ETF. It's not like you had to go out there and pick stocks, right? We're getting to a place now with GDX closing over 32 that we could see a further rally in our sector, which is great news. But we're still not at a point, I think, where you can just sit back and relax. You've got to, you know, do your due diligence and use more of a rifle approach than just buying anything with an angle in it.
Yeah, well, it's okay. So you just gave a lot of information, and I think probably a good key takeaway, and I want to somewhat paraphrase, and I do believe this, it's almost like gold and silver are both, they're ripping higher, but it's this wall of worry. And it's a wall of worry that investors are having, meaning, okay, here we have a breakout in gold specifically, and silver is approaching one in my mind. Well, all commodities are approaching one in my mind, but it's where retail investors make the biggest mistake, or people that don't have the experience, such as yourself and myself, make the biggest mistake is they see this, oh, it's already ran, so it's just going to come back again, or I'm afraid, so I'm not going to jump in, as opposed to this is taking the whole picture, if you would, and saying this is a breakout. So what are your comments on that, the wall of worry?
Yeah. Well, first, let me take a piece of what you just said there. What I would encourage people to do is don't pull up a 1 year chart or a 3 year chart. Pull up a 20 year chart. So it includes 08, 09. See where some of these things were trading then. And then look at 2016. That's another important rally, in my opinion. A lot of people disagree with me there, but I made 149% in 2016. It was my best year ever. So I feel this is like a 2016 where things got so bombed out, so short, you know, not visibly short to the public, but what we call naked short, where these entities out there, which I won't name on the show right now, but I am speaking on this topic later this month at a conference, and I will names. You know, basically it's just a really terrible situation where you have this huge disconnect between gold and the gold stocks, just as an example, but then you have a problem exacerbated by these entities that are naked shorting gold juniors, or gold, even just like the names like Newmont. How do you think Newmont got to 29? Like, I really don't think that it was just disinterest. I mean, I could be wrong, but it's not impossible for these companies or banks to really go after some of these names because they're illiquid. Not Newmont, of course, but like a lot of these gold mid-tiers, silver mid-tiers, there's not a lot of volume when compared to other sectors. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, people see 3, 4, 5 million shares. They're like, wow, it's a lot of volume. But, it's not a lot of volume to the broad market expert or trader. So, you know, our sector is very thin. It's going to get a lot better. That's the encouraging thing I'll say to listeners is that the constant problem I get or question I get from investors, I should say, is John, I like that stock, but there's no liquidity. True. Like 2 months ago, no liquidity. Right now, there's a lot of liquidity, even in some of these juniors that haven't traded much at all recently, right? And that's what I saw in 2020, is that a lot of these juniors got written up by Eric Sprott or got written up on some podcast just like this, and they just flew. And I mean, going from like 10 cents to a dollar within 3 months. Crazy, crazy performance. But through that, you know, you get volume. And so you can get liquidity in these names. So I always encourage people, you know, if you own something, it's important to always go back, I'd say at least on a monthly basis, and look at your portfolio closely and understand what are these things, what are my recent addition, what have I held for 3 or 4 years since the last rally in 2020 that I'm kind of doing this with. Because crossing your fingers isn't a strategy. You've got to call that company or work with someone like myself that knows the CEO and that can help you decide, like, you know, do you want to hold this? It's totally the client's call, not my call. But at least I can provide some research on, okay, this is a bit delayed because they're in Mexico, right? There's a Mexican election coming up in the fall. We don't know anything until that's going to happen with this particular stock. So that's what's holding you back, right? Like there's that applies to a couple of hundred names, I'd say, right? You know, it's not like a small number. So
yeah, Totally. It's funny you say that because I was on the phone with two different CEOs just last week. And they were literally like, well, there was this problem in this jurisdiction and that problem ended 6 months ago. And the market's just finally now figuring that out. So, but what I really want to talk about two things you really hit on, and I couldn't emphasize this enough, is I used to be a former commodities futures trader. Mm-hmm. And I